Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 134 of the Talking Chop podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is officially Saturday morning. It's not as late as it was supposed to be, frankly, because of how fast the game went, and it wasn't great for the Braves. And joining me to talk about it is the great Eric Cole. What's up, man?
I am thankful that this isn't being recorded at 1:30 in the morning. It's still quite late, and it was kind of a bummer of a game to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the big stuff that happened just because we have to. But, you know, the biggest takeaways here, the Braves lose again 3-0. They're now going back home. They do have two of the remaining three games in the series at home if that comes to it. But not a lot of optimism out there. They were shut out for the first time in franchise history in back-to-back postseason games, which kind of says all you need to say about that. There were chances for the Braves to score in this game. But honestly, from the moment of the first inning, it didn't feel like the Braves were going to score. I mean, maybe that's just me editorializing a little bit in retrospect, but I never got the feeling that this game was actually going to flip.
Yeah, I mean, Kershaw was obviously really good in this game. Acuna seemed to be kind of dialed in on him. He almost, you know, that second at bat where he ended up flying out, like he almost hit that ball out.
I thought it might have been off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded good. He hit the double to lead off the game. Had a single late against Kenley Jansen. So he was great, and he had a great diving catch in the game, too, for that matter. I mean, he came to play, but the rest of the offense was just awful. I mean, the top of the order just hasn't done anything in this series, really. You know, a couple singles here and there, nothing really right home about. And that's kind of been the story of the series. You know, I mean, we can talk about the home runs that the Dodgers hit. You know, Machado hit a two-run home run that a lot of people were reacting a lot more strongly than I was. I mean, it was honestly not that bad of a badly located pitch. It was kind of like low and away in the strike zone on 3-0, and Machado got the green light and went down and got it. And that was, you know, two runs right off the bat. But other than that, I mean, Anibal he pitched reasonably well. He, you know, he's kind of one of those guys that, you know, it never looks as good as what the line ends up being, but he was fine.
Yeah, this isn't a game where I was coming away with it saying that it was, you know, on Anibal Sanchez. Like, he did enough. He wasn't great. I mean, you mentioned the home run, which I agree was a little bit of an overreaction from some people. It wasn't a great pitch, but it wasn't a terrible pitch either. I think people wanted him to be walked more than anything. Like, you know, 3-0, base open, Manny Machado, you probably want to pitch around him there, which is kind of the pushback. I think normally if there had been somebody, if the runner had been on first base and not third base, no one would have said a word. Frankly, I don't think about the way that pitch was driven out of the ballpark. Obviously, that's not a great result, but I think it was just because there was a base open and, you know, Smoltz had said it on the broadcast that you know, probably should have been pitching around him. And I tend to agree with that, but, you know, big picture, it wasn't as if Anibal was terrible. He allowed the other home run later. And that's been the story of the series.
Which was a significantly worse pitch. That was like middle.
I was going to say the same thing. Like, that was a bigger mistake, frankly. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the story of the series. The Braves can't score. Obviously, that's the biggest story of the series. But it's basically just been home runs by the Dodgers. It wasn't like they're, you know, nickel and diming you to death. Like, there's just been a couple big swings in both games. I mean, you mentioned the top of the order. You know, aside from Acuna, who has been fine but hasn't been that great in the series. I mean, he's been the best player for the Braves, but that's not exactly a high bar to clear. You got Camargo, who's been just completely lost. Freddie's been not great at all. Marquegas has been not great at all. Had a big strikeout in this game. Suzuki is now 0-for-4. You know, Albies has not done much for you. I mean, it's not – you're going down the list. It's basically Acuna and a little bit of Ender Inciarte, and that's kind of it. So, yeah, the offense kind of speaks for itself. We can go down a lot of rabbit holes here. I guess we should talk about the first inning more specifically, because that was kind of the moment where it felt like it was deflating. The whole first inning was deflating because we just discussed the two-run homer in the bottom of the first. But the top of the first, Acuna rifles the double to left center. Camargo then taps back to the mound, but Acuna does what Acuna does and gets to third base somehow, which was a great thing. Dodgers put the infield in. Freeman grounds out hard to second base. Acuna can't score, and then Markakis gets just buckled by a Kershaw curveball, which it was a filthy pitch, but just not scoring there after the way that Thursday night went. It's kind of, I don't want to overstate it, but that just felt brutal. And then immediately giving up two runs in the bottom half, it was like the absolute. I made that note. I think I even tweeted it as well. Like it'd be pretty hard to draw up a worse way to start a game, a more deflated way to start a game after a loss than what happened in the first inning.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's really tough. And, like, you know, to the team's credit, I mean, especially, you know, kind of the rest of the game, like, it didn't, like, that's easily where the game could have, like, gotten to, like, a big margin, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you know, the pitching staff battled. I mean, once Anibal was out of the game, you know, he gave up a couple home runs. But, you know, he was, other than that, I mean, like, Tukey looked really good. Freed had, you know, only faced one batter, but, you know, did well there. We had Vizcaino come in, and he, you know, he pitched well. It was kind of like, you know, like the pitching did their job. You know, when we talked, you know, previewing this series, I said that, you know, like at the end of the day, you're not going to beat this team with two runs. It's just not going to happen. I mean, there's just too many good hitters. The one thing that bothered me about all the talk about the Machado, I mean, like, you know, are you really wanting to put a second base runner on so that you have the privilege of facing Yasiel Puig? Like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah. That's the thing. Like, there's so many people. I mean, their number eight hitter hit a solo homer in this game, and that's, yeah, and
they're
it's
just,
and,
they're you know, just better. I mean, with something we said on the preview podcast, we all said it. They're just better, top to bottom. We knew that coming in. Something I tweeted before we started recording. The Dodgers are better. We knew that they're better. I think the gap feels wider than we thought it was going to, but at the same time. It's a two-game sample, and you run into Clayton Kershaw, who was just Clayton Kershaw in capital letters tonight. And then, yep. You know, yesterday, Ryu was better than I thought he was going to be. But, you know, we knew the Dodgers were better. They're better. It's what it is.
Yep. And, I mean, look, you know, clearly that, you know, like playing in Dodger Stadium when there's over 50,000 people there, I mean, that's a real advantage for, you know, that's a real home field advantage for a really good team. And, you know, the offense is like there's a lot of bad at bats. I mean, Camargo had a miserable one in the ninth inning where he just, you know, like
that was awful.
Yeah, like you know, like accidentally fouling off two pitches before popping out to first base. And I mean, like Freeman had some at bats where he wasn't particularly good. I mean, like when that's happening, when like guys that normally have really good at bats like that aren't. It's kind of one of those things where I'm like, let's get out of Dodger Stadium and like let's see how things feel a little more in SunTrust, because you know it's going to be a little bit deflated just because of the Braves are going to be coming back to SunTrust down 0-2. Like that place is still going to be bumping, and I know that the home field advantage for the Braves hasn't been particularly great this year, but like also there's not going to be a crowd all year from the regular season. It's going to be anything like what's going to be on Sunday, so hopefully that gets them going. I mean, and just gets the offense going, because again, like you know, this Dodgers offense is going to score runs off of the Braves pitching staff. I mean, it's just there's not going to be shutouts thrown by the Braves pitching staff. It's just not going to happen, just because they're that good, and that's just giving respect where it's due. I mean, there's too many good hitters. You can blank seven of these guys, and you know one guy is still going to take you deep, or still going to have a decent game. So you're going to have to put up runs in any amount. I mean, you know, obviously they've been shut out in two straight games, and that's certainly not going to get it done. But you know, there's going to have to be some real offense, and you're going to have to kind of drive these starters out of games, and you know, get to the bullpens with some better at bats. Because otherwise, I mean, Sunday could just go the same way, and that's tough. So.
It is, and I think that, you know, I want to do a couple more things on the game tonight, unfortunately. But looking ahead, like, I think something good needs to happen early on Sunday night, just for, you know, you mentioned crowd morale and just the morale of the team not scoring again here. I mean, I think they probably made too much of it on the broadcast. The possibility of the Braves, you know, getting one run in the ninth inning as like some sort of moral victory. But I think just seeing something other than a zero in that column would have been fun at some point. But yeah, I think something good happening early, I should say, on Sunday evening would be a good thing. That's sort of self-explanatory, but it also I think needs to be said just for crowd stuff and all, just morale in general. But I mean, the two things that I wanted to hit on that we haven't talked about yet, just briefly from tonight, on the bright side, you know, the bullpen was very good. You know, Max Fried threw one pitch, did his job. Tukey yep. looked good, and then Vizcaino looked good. That's sort of a moral victory for the future, because those guys are three of your young core pieces in terms of your arms. But that was nice to see that they at least held them closely. I mean, Anibal wasn't great, wasn't terrible, but the bullpen actually was very good.
Yeah, and I like that. I mean, look, the game was like a 3-0 loss is like, obviously that's bad because you didn't score any runs, but like that's not like a blowout or anything. And it was nice that
it felt like a blowout, but I
understand what you're saying, just because the way Kershaw was cruising, the way the offense was playing, I get that much. But like throwing Tukey into that situation made me feel really good. Like, you know, it made me feel like, okay, that they would trust him to put him in a situation where it was like a close game. And I mean, he pitched really well, you know, like that curve is still ridiculous and he still has a fastball that has life all over the place. So, you know, it was good to see him put into that situation. You know, it's again, we're kind of hoping that, you know, the next two games at SunTrust go significantly better, because if the Braves get a lead, that like there are some arms in the bullpen that can reasonably get some outs right now, which is not what I would have thought two games ago. But
yeah, it feels better than it was going to feel, I think.
I feel better about the bullpen than I do the offense right now, which is not particularly which is a really strange place to be in.
Small wins.
well, yeah, I mean, look, the offense has been really bad. You can talk about, you know, Fulte's start, and you can talk about, you know, the home runs that Anibal gave up, but that the Braves would have lost both these games 1-0, and that's where my thinking stopped. Is like, you have to score runs, and that means like working at bats better, you know, like just foul off some pitches so you can like get some better pitches to hit.
I was gonna ask you about that, actually. Let's talk about that for a second. You know, a lot was made about Kershaw only needing 85 pitches to get through 8 innings, and I think that would have been the same way in the ninth. You know, as a team, the Dodgers threw 99 pitches in this game in 9 innings. That's really brutal. I mean, some of the approaches are pretty interesting to discuss. I think it sort of feeds into the big picture question that I wanted to ask you, is basically like, what do you make of the, you know, the spotlight is too bright narrative? There's a lot of the like the Braves aren't ready for this kind of thing stuff. I usually push back against that. I do think that there is some of that potentially in play, which is the way that they're not taking good plate appearances. There's not a lot of patience right now. They might be pressing a little bit. I think some of that does come from inexperience. But, you know, what's that balance for you? Like, what do you – I mean, obviously it's not good to only see 99 pitches in a game and not really generate much in the way of threats outside of that first inning. But, I mean, how much of that is youth and how much of that just them not playing well against the guys who are better than they are?
I don't think it's youth, because, I mean, like, the guy has the best patience on the team is batting leadoff right now, and he sees pitches every at bat. You know, he's had
the best series, and he's the youngest.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie's swinging at pitches early in counts, and I mean, it's Suzuki. I think he saw like 5 pitches all game. You know, like it was kind of one of those things where
after a one pitch at bat on Thursday. Like, it's not been a great series for old Kurt Suzuki.
No, I mean, I think it's more of a, you know, like it's not. I think some of it's like, you know, look, it's not like Kershaw wasn't throwing strikes and his stuff wasn't good. You know what I mean? He wasn't like diving. They weren't chasing balls that were like making him fall over the plate or anything. He was throwing really good pitches in the strike zone. You just got to be able to foul those pitches off and kind of stay back on them more. Otherwise, you know, that's what's going to happen. You're just gonna swing over top of them, or you're gonna hit, you know, weak grounders, and they're not gonna be able to do anything with them. So, it's in those cases you have to just kind of be able to stay back on the ball and either, you know, just kind of foul it back, or, you know, foul it off, you know, and, you know, send some souvenirs to the first and third base side. And rather than, you mean, like, there's just got to be a better, more patience in terms of like recognizing what your pitch to hit and this at bat's going to be. I mean, the Braves haven't drawn a walk in this series.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah, some of that's just, you know, Kershaw was Kershaw, but yeah,
and Ryu too. Like, he was not
same
throwing
thing. Yeah, I mean, but still, but that's have, it's mean, a like, jarring the, stat.
Well, yeah, you have to work counts to get there. I mean, it seemed like every at bat was 3 pitches, and that's not going to do it. I mean, you're just going to have to, you know, you're going to have to either make some real contact. I mean, and the other thing about this game that was really frustrating is like anything that resembled a hard hit ball was right at somebody, and like it just felt like it felt like that Giant series earlier in the season where it's like, you know, everything that the Braves hit that was hard was like right at a fielder, and then like in the Giants' case, there was like these little bloop flares that literally found every hole in the field, and it was just like a frustrating sort of game in that regard. But, you know, they're going to have to make better contact, and work better at bats. Otherwise, I mean, again, when Walker Buehler is not like he's not, you're not getting a break against that guy. You know what I mean? You're gonna have to make him work for it. Now, fortunately, he's, you know, he's a rookie, and you maybe he'll and the weight of clinching a series is gonna be on his back, and maybe you can, you know, use some of this pressure and adrenaline that's kind of getting to some of the Braves hitters right now, and, you know, some of that impatience will get to him, and he might do something stupid. Because there's definitely guys in this Braves lineup that can punish mistakes. They're just not doing it right now, and unfortunately, the Dodgers pitchers haven't really been making a ton of mistakes. So if you don't take advantage of them, then this is kind of where you end up at, where, you know, you don't score any runs over two games.
Yeah, I mean, Buehler was nails in a big start earlier in the week, so hopefully that doesn't happen again. But yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, I'm almost like out of things to say. I mean, I don't want to go too deep because people don't want to hear it. I mean, it's been kind of funny. A lot of responses to my tweets at the end of the game about the podcast were like, don't do the podcast. We don't have to do the podcast. I promised it, so here we are. And Eric's a trooper for doing this with me. But I mean, we could talk about Lane Adams being hit by a pitch in the sixth inning and still having a 5-pitch inning overall with a base runner. You don't really see a 5-pitch inning with base runners off very often. That's pretty, that was a wild one. Yeah. Camargo sliding head first, by the way, was something that I wrote down and wanted to talk about.
That was a little bit of desperation. it was pretty brutal. I want to give Lane Adams a little bit of a free pass though. Everyone was going to get mad. Him not making it to second on that force out. Everyone's like, "Where's all that speed?" And I'm like, "He got hit in the pitch by a pitch in the foot."
Oh, it was fine.
Good luck. You sprint 30 feet a second, you know, after you get drilled.
It was a close play too. Like, I mean, he was clearly out, but it wasn't like he was out by a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, my timeline was like,
I saw that too. I mean, I'm sure maybe he beats it in a healthy, perfect world, but it is important to note that he did get hit by pitch. And I mean, you're talking about a spot where beating that out would have been kind of miraculous. I mean, it would have been
huge, that's not what usually happens there. Usually that play gets made.
no big deal there. I mean, I guess maybe he could have gotten a better jump or something. I will cop to the fact that I don't really know what kind of jump he got on the play. But yeah, I saw some of that too, and it was like, all right, guys, let's just relax. I don't know. I think we're probably out of things to discuss in the actual game without just exhausting ourselves. Yeah. Look ahead. Before the game started, there was a little bit of talk, I guess, from Brian Snicker that Fulton Avich might start game four if that happens. Obviously, game four existing would be a huge win at this point in time. But what did you make of that since we're now ahead of it and we can at least talk about it before it may not happen?
I mean, I don't hate it. He only threw 50 pitches, I think, in game one, and I don't think that what Fulte's issues were that he just simply is not good enough to play against the Dodgers. You know what I mean? And the idea of starting Julio Teheran against this Dodgers lineup actually legitimately terrifies me. So, you know, when you ever have a pitcher that's has a tendency to give up home runs, and then you're going to put him against this Dodgers lineup, I mean. I don't hate it. I think that the idea behind it has to be, though, that, you know, once things start going south, you have to have Tukey or Fried or Newcomb, really. You have to have them ready to go again. And the Braves did that in the first game. You know, as soon as, you know, things kind of really went bad, they got faulty out of there. But when you bring a guy in short rest like that, you're going to have to kind of handcuff him to somebody. And make sure that they're ready to go. So,
well, they're going to have to do that regardless. I mean, it's going to be – that's why you carry – I mean, they have seven starters on the team right now. Even if it's Fulte, you have to piggyback him. If it's Teheran, you have to piggyback him. If it's Newcomb in game four, same thing. You know, regardless, I can't imagine whoever starts that game is going to be having a long leash.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gausman's going to have the same thing on Sunday too.
I think so. Maybe he'll have a little bit more of a leash because he's on regular rest and has been a little bit better. But same thing, you got to manage game. You got to manage every game now, but especially Sunday, like it's your last, and that means usually having a very quick hook. I'll be interested to see how Snicker handles that. I mean, nothing that he's done in this series has been like offensive, because, you know, I guess on the bright side, the games haven't been competitive enough for like the managerial stuff to really matter all that much. The only thing that was like really weird about it was the opener and letting Fulte hit for himself, but aside from that, like, the decisions kind of have to be made for you. Like, you know, you're losing and there's not a whole lot you can do. But yeah, Gausman shouldn't have a ton of leash, I don't think, on Sunday, but that's going to be the theme the rest of the way, honestly. When you're getting beat like this, everything's got to be pulling out all the stops here. I'll be interested to see if he changes the lineup. It might be seen as more something of a panic move, but maybe you move Camargo down and do something else. I'm not really sure what you do here. I mean, I've actually expected to see Ender Inciarte in the two hole, considering it's a right-handed pitcher in Buehler. So that's a kind of an obvious change that he can make, and I think he probably will make. I'm okay with it. It's fine.
There's already talk after the game that Snicker saying that there's going to be some changes to the lineup, and that seems
sure.
like I think
you're
right.
To do. I mean, if nothing else, it's like do something different. I'm not huge into just changing for change's sake, but with the way those two games went on this kind of stage with the spotlight the way it is, you can't just say, all right, same lineup, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and they are going against a righty, so I mean, like, it's not it's not completely indefensible.
It should change things. I do think I was not surprised, but I was curious as to why they didn't play Flowers again in this game against the lefty.
I will say this. Kurt Suzuki's pitch framing in this game was among the worst I've ever seen.
Well, that was
legitimately bad.
That's one of the reasons why. I mean, I don't want to go too deep into this because I got in some fights yesterday with people that were trying to tell me that he should have played in the opener, and I'm like, guys, you cannot argue for Suzuki over Flowers against a left-handed pitcher because Flowers is a much better defensive player. It's just full stop. Flowers framing is huge. I mean, you can talk about framing in whichever way you want to talk about it. Framing shouldn't matter, like, you know, robot umps and all that stuff, but it does matter. It matters a lot, and he's one of the best at it in the world. Suzuki is not good at it. He's not a good defensive catcher. He's not, like, absolutely terrible, but he's not good. And against left-handed pitching, Flowers is a better hitter too. So I would have done it again here. I mean, I would have gone to Flowers. I know Flowers wasn't great in the opener. He had 3 strikeouts, but he also had a hit. And, you know, having a hit in this series is like something to just, you know, throw a party over, frankly. So, I mean, all that to say, only because you knew a right-handed pitcher was coming in game 3, and you probably want to lead Suzuki in that spot because Suzuki's been better against right-handed pitching this season. So, I don't know. That was why it struck me as weird. I wonder who plays in game 3. It might be Flowers because of how bad you just said it was with Suzuki. Like, I'm sure somebody in the Braves front office or one of their guys is going to be like, you know, they probably, you know, Suzuki might have cost them several strikes and by proxy outs in this game because it was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, for Anibal and for Tukey, I mean, it seemed like he like
all night. Really, it was all night.
Yeah, it was like, and it wasn't just like, you know, like he like his glove moved a little bit. It was like he didn't realize the pitch was coming and like had to catch some balls that were headed right at him, underhanded, kind of trying to like it wasn't good. It cost the team some strikes, and I don't think it cost the team the game. But at the same time, like it wasn't good. So.
Yeah, one note, I know you mentioned there's the press conference is happening as we're talking here. One note that we talked about a little bit earlier, this is from Gabe Burns, our old pal at the AJC. He's passing along the information that Snicker said he actually assumed that Anibal wasn't going to pitch to Machado in that spot at 3-0, and he said but Snicker took the blame, saying that he could have called for a walk and didn't. So that's just some context to that particular massive at bat, and also the lineup. Yeah, you mentioned the lineup stuff. It looks like they're going. Snicker said that the players are going to stay the same. I'm not really sure what that means for catcher, but the order is probably going to change, which is not as big a surprise. So yeah, we'll see. Let's talk about a little bit about the game 3 matchup. We talked about it a little bit there, but Kevin Gausman, Walker Buehler. Do you expect Gausman? What are you projecting here? I know the Braves are going to be sizable underdogs. I'm looking for the Vegas spread. It's not out yet. I was going to pass that along. It's something I passed along last night, and people were taken aback by the Dodgers being a huge favorite. We saw why. The number's going to be a lot smaller this time around because A, the game's in Atlanta, and B, it's not Clayton Kershaw, but it's going to be the Dodgers' favorite again, and maybe that's not the wrong thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like Gausman to pitch reasonably well, just because this is a team that is kind of geared towards, you know, hitting the long ball, and he's just not a guy that generally gives up a ton of them. At least one would hope anyway. He's a ball kind of a guy that, you know, throws that splitter and has generally does a pretty good job of keeping the ball down. And has done so for the Braves anyway. So you have to hope that like that'll continue to happen. But at the same time, like, They have so many lefties in that lineup, and all of them, it seems like every at bat seems terrifying. I'm just hoping they can get like through five or six innings. At the end of the day, everything's coming down to, you know, whether or not this offense scores runs. So I worry that, you know, if like the offense, even if he has a good start to the game where, you know, we don't give up first inning runs for the first time in this series, like after, you know, three or four innings of, you know, if the Braves offense continues to scuffle, whether or not like some frustration will start to bleed through, and that'll lead to bad things happening. So, you know, again, I like Gausman a lot. You know, since we've acquired him from the trade deadline, you know, he's only had a handful of starts, really, if you kind of think about it that way, for the Braves. And, you know, I just don't really know what to expect from him in the postseason and kind of how he matches up against this sort of lineup, because we haven't really seen him have to deal with this level of talent on a team. So, you know, we'll see. I'm hopeful. You know, he's a big-time talent. I will say that of all the pitching at-bats that we've had in this series, it's very likely that his will be among the best we've seen, because it seems like every time he's at-bat, it's like, you know, he's 8-9 pitch at-bats. And yeah, he's draw some walks, too. So, I mean, you know, at least we have that going for us.
He'll see some pitches at the very least, I think.
Yeah, he'll foul off pitches. Yeah, he doesn't really do much with them, but, you know, he'll
waste pitches. That's actually kind of useful, honestly.
That is going to be useful in the series. You know, make Bueller work for it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, again, I don't think that Gausman versus Bueller is an advantage for the Braves, but it also isn't the disadvantage that Kershaw versus Sanchez is. So, and that's not a shot at Sanchez. Again, I mean, Kershaw is just Kershaw, and that was maybe not peak Kershaw, but, you know, high up there on the list. He's very, very good.
Yeah, B-plus Kershaw is.
Yeah, I mean, right. He didn't have his strikeout stuff, I guess. He only had 3 strikeouts, and I guess, you know, Pete Kershaw would have struck out 11 in that same game. But, yeah, he was really good. So, all right, I mean, I think we've probably done enough here, Eric. Not the most fun show we've ever done on the podcast. At least they're in the playoffs, and we're talking about playoff baseball.
Oh, yeah, I mean, matters. Like, again, I still feel, like, pretty, like, I'm ecstatic that they're in the division round, and I'm glad I'm going to be there on Sunday. I think that place is going to be jumping. I think they're going to play better at SunTrust. I do. I just don't think this, the team that we've seen the last 2 days, this is just not the team that got here. So
yeah,
you know,
it would be really deflating if it happened like that. But I do agree with you that I think we'll see something in the way of some fight on Sunday, which is what would be nice to see.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So you know, if you guys are around on Sunday, you know, come find me. I'll be around, and you know, it'll be a good time. Just enjoy the playoff run. I mean, there's some people who are like genuinely really upset. Yesterday, I had some like really mean messages and really mean tweets at me. Like, it was like my fault personally that the Braves were terrible.
It is your fault, Eric.
I respect that, but at the same time, like, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, like, they're playing in the playoffs, and this is still pretty awesome that they're here. And we're looking at probably the worst incarnation of this team over the next few years, and they still got here. So like just enjoy yourselves and just understand that, you know, it's a young team. They haven't been in the playoffs for a long time, and they're playing against a Dodgers squad that is really, really good. I've had multiple people tell me that they're due for 90 losses next year, based on the performance of the series. Yeah.
What are we doing?
And it's, I don't think people fully understand kind of what's happening, and they're just super upset, and they probably haven't watched a Braves game all year until the series. So
it's frustration. I mean, I totally get it. This has been a maddening series. It's 2 games. It's been maddening. It's been frustrating, but let's try to keep things in perspective a little bit. You know, the 1 year ahead of schedule stuff gets annoying in the middle of a broadcast, but it's also true. So yeah,
it is also true. I do wish that the broadcast would tone down the reasons why they hate the game of baseball.
I fully agree with that. I tried my best not to do the broadcast rant yesterday with Scott, and I did okay.
I did okay here,
but it's been really, really bad. I've tweeted a few times about it, but it's been really, I mean, no
John beef Smoltz with, is doing his best Joe Simpson impression about how bad the game of baseball is right now and how it needs to be back the way it was 20, 25 years ago or further than that, about how, you know, the way the game needs to be played and all that stuff. I will tell you something, MLB Network, okay? If you want people to like your game and to like your product, one thing that should be made absolutely clear is that they should not be trashing the product that's on the field in the playoffs.
It was FS1 tonight. It wasn't even MLB Network tonight, but yeah.
John Smoltz was bad. The FS1 crew's been bad about it. I didn't get the chance to see the TBS crew at work. It was just...
No, it's not good. I mean... All love for John Smoltz, who is one of the great Braves of all time, Hall of Famer, all that fun stuff. I've met the man. I've hosted the man at an event. But he's been bad in this series. It's been driving me crazy. So, yeah, without going too deep into that rant here at whatever time it is, 1 a.m. But, yeah, broadcast has not been doing anybody any favors. I'm sure the Dodgers fans have liked it because the team is winning. But it is definitely has that bent of not enjoying baseball, which is something that you really don't want to hear when you're watching a baseball game. So,
yeah.
Yeah, rough. And also, I've done very well not to go into the perfect synergy of the exact same situation happening in the first inning on both sides, but with one team having Manny Machado hitting cleanup and the other team having Nick Markakis hitting cleanup. Man on third, two outs, and one guy is Manny Machado, and the other guy is Nick Markakis, and that says it all.
I mean, if it was first half Nick Markakis, I'd be fine with it. But
yeah, if it was May, that'd be great. And then he came back to being Nick Markakis again, which is fine.
I'm just not particularly fine tonight.
No, I don't want to. Let's just. I'm going to tell myself to stop talking now because I don't want to.
You're already going to get the angry tweets, man.
And by the way, let me just say it's not Markakis. Everybody was bad in this game. Aside from Acuña, everybody was bad. Freddie included. Freddie's the best player on the team, has been for a while. He's been bad in the series. Camargo, I think Camargo and Suzuki have been the two worst in the series, and those guys we've lauded quite a bit on this podcast. So it's equal opportunity. Let's just be clear about that. No one aside from Ronald Acuña and some of the pitching staff.
There's no scapegoats in this one. No runs have been scored. That's a team effort.
Yep. All right, Eric. Well, that's more than enough, I think. You should go to bed. I should at least try to do that. But please subscribe to the podcast, everybody. I'm sorry for this episode not being the greatest in the world and most organized, and I'm sure we've rambled quite a bit, but I appreciate everyone that's supported us throughout the season. Either way, we'll be here. We'll be back after game three. I have not decided if I'll be in the building on Sunday. I know Eric will be, so it will not be Eric on the pod on Sunday night because Eric will be in the building, which is cool. But regardless, we'll have a podcast at some point late Sunday night into Monday morning, and then we'll do our normal stuff after that, kind of wrapping things up big picture. That'll be a short one, I'm sure. Sunday night, it'll be more game focused. Even if it's a loss, we're going to save the like post-mortem stuff for later. But yeah, there'll be a podcast there. Eric, any final thoughts for you before we get out of here, man?
It's going to be okay, Braves fans, truly. Like again, just enjoy this, and I'm quite confident they'll play better on Sunday. And even if they don't, like, there's a lot of things that you can take away from the season. So, you know, pump the brakes on, like, thinking that we need to burn down SunTrust Park after those first two games.
Yeah, please do not burn things or yell or scream or be inappropriate. We're all frustrated, but there's ways to... I guess just act in that way. So hopefully the day off on Saturday will do everyone some good. You know, obviously some travel involved there for the Braves themselves. But Sunday night, 8:07, SunTrust Park should be rocking. And then hopefully Monday at 4:30, which would be crazy in the city over there.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a 4:30 start.
That's a Monday 4:30 at SunTrust if that game exists. So we will see.
I will not be in that one.
yeah, the day jobs will be... interesting on that one. But all right, everybody, thanks for listening. Subscribe, do all that fun stuff. We'll see you guys late on Sunday evening.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.